Hello, I'm sitting here with my wife of 45 years, Rita, and we're going to have a chat about her life in the past and how things happened during those 45 years. Before I do any of that, though, I'd like to play one of Rita's favourite songs, Love Is All Around by Wet, Wet, Wet.
I feel it in my toes. Love is all around me, and so the feeling grows. It's written on the wind, it's everywhere I go. Come on and let it show.
Well, that was Love Is All Around by Wet, Wet, Wet. And it's, I think that's both of our favourite songs, isn't it? We both watched that film, Four Weddings and a Funeral, where it was a big hit after that. Quite a lot of weeks on the charts. Anyway, back to you and where you were born. You were born in Bull Hill Maternity Home, Darwin, in February the 27th, 1953. And you're the youngest of three children. You had a brother, Dave, and a sister, Marie. And just soon after you were born, about 18 months later, your mum sadly died. And your father, after a period of mourning, met Winifred Johnson, or Winnie as everybody knew her. And she almost brought you up. You never really knew your real mum, did you?
No.
Your birth mum.
No.
So tell me a bit about growing up and how you fitted in with the family. Were you the one that were always spoiled because you were the youngest? Or
no, I think we were all treated the same.
Yeah. And David was probably about 8 then, wasn't he, when you were born? Something like that.
Sure, yeah. Now.
Then, as you grew older, you attended different schools. Tell me about primary school you attended.
I went to St Edward's Primary School. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to St Thomas Aquinas.
Secondary school.
Secondary school.
Yeah.
And I didn't carry on any further from there.
Rita, when you were at school and before you met me, I believe you thought about joining the Wrens. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, the services kept coming round, the Army and the Navy, and when the talks about the opportunities, and I fancied being a Wren. I thought I could try and travel a bit and see the world. But unfortunately, I think I got a bit lazy and I didn't get the exams that I needed.
Oh, and that was why.
I didn't go any further with it.
So do you have regrets about that now?
No, not really.
You're not one for regrets, are you?
You get on with things.
Yeah.
It's one of these things that didn't happen.
No, I think by the time you were 15, you'd left school, hadn't you, and worked at a Monumental Masons or something?
That's right, Mm-hmm. I didn't last there very long.
No, what do you do there? Were you in the office? Or?
Well, we kind of engraved the words and pictures down the side of the headstones, ready for the engraving.
All right, okay.
And then they went on down to the workshop then.
And did you enjoy that?
It was all right, but I don't think I was quite good enough for the job, really. I didn't really last that long.
Well, I think, you're very modest and you're always saying you're not, but I know for a fact you're a bright lady and you can do anything you turn your mind to. I'm sure you can. It was about that time that you decided to find another job and you went to Risswires and Cables, which obviously had more than one factory, but there was one in Darwin, one in Accrington that I worked at, which is a clue to what's coming next. There was one in Blackburn, one in Preston, and I think there was also one in Nelson. And at that time, I used to maintain all the boards and things, didn't I? And that's where I first met you.
Yeah.
And were you a receptionist at Darwin factory? And we seemed to hit it off right away, didn't we?
Yeah, that's really good.
But more of that later. So, when you were growing up, did you go to youth clubs and things?
Yeah, we had a small youth club we used to go to.
Mm-hmm. Did you go with your sister? Because Marie's only, she's about 3 years old.
No, I think I went with a friend from school.
Your friend from
school?
Friends
from school, yeah.
Did you have lots of friends at school?
Not many.
No. And I think you used to go to your Granny Smith for your dinner. She was...
Yeah.
Did she live in Oakfield then?
No, I don't think we went for dinner. I used to call around, I think, at tea time, because I used to stop for school dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to our Maureen sort of one stage.
Well, that's your sister-in-law, Maureen, and his brother David.
I used to have my dinner there, especially when she had Gwyn.
Gwyn was born then, wasn't she?
Yeah, I used to take her out for a little walk while she made me dinner.
So that was your dad's oldest grandchild, wasn't it, Gwyneth? And then
that's
came
right,
after that.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, more about that later. We'll play another song now. And the second song you've picked for me today is Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Eva Cassidy. Do you want to tell me why you picked that?
Well, I used to watch the film Wizard of Oz and enjoyed that as a child. And I like the song very much, especially for me as a Cassidy, because it's a gentle song.
It is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Terry Wogan made her famous, didn't he, when his radio show.
I'm not too sure about that.
That's the first I heard of her, and I think a lot of people said that, that he'd been the reason for her success. So we'll listen to it now, shall we? Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Eva Cassidy.
Somewhere
away. Up high in a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. You dare to dream, really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far. The rainbow wide. Oh.
So that was Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Eva Cassidy, a very evocative version of that song, although I did like Judy Garland's. I think that added a little bit more finesse to it. So, we're talking about us meeting at the Darwin Factory, and you were only 15 then, I think, and it was quite interesting because I came over to your house once, didn't I? And we went into, I think it was Bold Venture Park. We had a little walk round, didn't we?
Yeah, nice park.
Yeah, a nice sort of chat. And then that would be in November 1968. And then I think the next thing, nothing happened after that. And I think I went out with a couple of girls at work, just on dates and thing. And I think it was, I remember when you on your 16th birthday, which was the 27th of February 1969, you wrote me a letter saying that you were now 16 and you're ready to go out if I wanted to go. And I even remember the letter. You said that you'd seen a film called Villa Rides, which was on at the local cinema. I did a fancy watching it, and I don't think we ever got to see that film, but I think a couple of months later I got in touch with you, and I think we always said that we actually started courting on May the 11th that year. You know, I think that was our sort of anniversary before, you know.
Yeah, I think it was.
I mean, obviously, I had to keep coming over to Darwin, and I think at first, I was limited to seeing you on a Saturday and a Wednesday or something like that, and it seemed a long while, didn't it, from Saturday to Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
And we got on really well, and we started going on dates, and you started staying over at mine, I started staying over at yours, you know, with parental supervision, of course. Yeah, and I seem to remember we decided we'd try to learn to dance, didn't we?
Yeah.
We went to this place called the Silver Slipper in Darwin.
Ballroom near where.
Yeah, and it was good. I mean, you know, I were never a good dancer. But I tried. I mean, I think I had three left feet, never mind two.
Yeah.
you were always good at dancing, and I were a bit sad about that I never really learned, because I think it's something we could have enjoyed doing, you know, especially now that it's become dancing's on, because, you know, everybody's into it now, aren't they?
Wow.
Well, from that, I mean, I didn't remember at that time that there was a certain song that you listened to, and you might have said, oh, I think that's our song, that, and can you tell me what it was?
It was called Durham Town by Roger Whittaker.
That's right. And do you like to listen to it now?
Yes, I like
to. Okay, we'll put that on next then.
Gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town, and that leaving's gonna get me down. Back in 1944, I remember Daddy walking out the door. Mama told me he was going to war. He was leaving, 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 leaving. Now I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town, and that leaving's gonna get me down. When I was a boy, I spent my time sitting on the banks of the River Tyne, watching all the ships going down the line. They were leaving, 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 leaving. Now I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town, and that leaving's gonna get me down. Last week Mama passed away. Goodbye, son, was all she'd say. There's no call for me to stay, so I'm leaving. Leaving, 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 leaving free. Now I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town. And that leaving's gonna get me. I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town. I've gotta leave old Durham town. And that leaving's gonna get me. La 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 la.
Right, that was Durham Town by Roger Whittaker. Just remind me what you thought, why you like that song particularly.
I don't know, it's kind of jolly. He's a nice whistler as well.
Yeah, he is, and a good singer too. He's got sort of a relaxing voice, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And anyway, I used to go over and meet your granny with you, didn't I? And she lived in Oakfield, and we used to have some nights there. And your granny always used to like a King's Ale before she went to bed, didn't she?
Yeah.
She said that's what kept her going. I think she was 83. Well, she's older than that then, because she had a hip replacement at 83, and she went on to live till 95, didn't she? Wonderful old lady.
Yeah,
I remember her very well. And one particular night, I seem to remember that I got a flat tyre when I was at their house, and I thought, oh dear. I tried to get the wheel off, and it was jammed on, so I think eventually I rang my dad and asked him to come for me, and he said, it's pitch foggy here. It's so foggy, it's dangerous to come out. So then I was stuck. And of course, your mum and dad didn't let me stay the night because you were working the day after. And so I had to walk through the middle of Darwin at midnight. And I was going to go to the police station and see if I could get a taxi home or something because I knew how foggy it was. And I thought, well, you know, there's no buses going to be running. It was too late anyway. And I think I remember seeing, you had it was a godfather called Uncle Norman, wasn't he? And he was a jeweller. And he used to happen to be coming in and I was walking past. And he actually was kind enough to give me a lift home that night. So they're a nice couple too. I mean, you had some really nice relatives. And we actually, when we did get engaged, which was it was when you were 17, wasn't it? So it was supposed to be 1970. We actually bought our engagement ring off your uncle.
We did,
it was a lovely ring, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we're proud of that. You've still got that, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
Mm. And we used to go to these do's in Darwin, didn't we, at the ICI Club. Mm. I think they had like these so many accident-free hours celebrations every year. And we used to go to different functions like that. And I think at that time I was doing a stint down Newcastle Underline to learn my trade. And I was there for about 7 weeks, but at weekends I came home. And sometimes we used to go to your caravan at Windy Harbour, didn't we?
Yeah.
With your mum and dad, and that was nice. That was lovely.
Good times, yeah.
And we actually got married then, they must have known, because we had a mock wedding at that caravan, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I remember it was a bit of fun. And it was lovely, and it was nice. And I remember, I don't think I'd stayed in a caravan before. I was probably about 20 then. And the first thing in the morning, you could hear the birds walking along the roof, and I thought that was really cute, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had some nice times because we had a club there as well, didn't they? So that was good.
Yeah, some good nights there, dancing as well.
And then so I think it was probably 1969. You went on holiday with your sister, and you went there, didn't you? Because I came to meet you, didn't I?
Yeah.
And stayed with you for a couple of hours, and then drove back home after.
Yeah.
I remember being taken short on the way home, and having to stop at I think it was Cleveland's. No, it might have been Kirkham's railway station to go to the toilet. So that was something. Isn't it funny what sticks in your memory?
Yeah. Mm.
And obviously, you know, we did a bit of this long distance, well, it was only 7 miles, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For quite a while, and then decided we were going to get married. And we picked a really good month to get married, didn't we? December.
Yeah.
December the 11th. And it was so windy that I was going bald then, and my cousin had done a really good job on my hair. She'd lacquered it all down. And when we looked at the wedding photographs, the wind had lifted it like a mat. And I looked a bit like Ken Dodd on some of them, but the least said about that, the better, I suppose. But we had a lovely time, and I remember that Ernie was number one in the charts at that time by Benny Hill. Mm-hmm. I also remember Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves that was on the jukebox when we went, and we actually sang that night. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What did we sing?
Oh, now what was it? Oh, I can't just think. I know how it goes. I know.
It's Cinderella Rockefeller.
That's right, yeah. We
won't bother singing it again,
no,
but that's what it was.
I wouldn't.
And everybody gave us great applause, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a fun night.
Mm. And we had a buffet. It was at the Bowling Green Club, and then we had soup after. So we had soup first, and then we had the buffet. Because
yeah.
It was quite a cold afternoon, windy and a bit wet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we actually hired a Chevrolet Impala, and that's what we actually went to the wedding in. And we nearly didn't get there because the guy didn't realise at the top of one of the streets there was a junction, and he went right in the middle of the road and swerved the car right round 180 degrees. So the usher was sitting next to him in the back seat, and me, we sort of held hands and prayed. No, but we got there eventually. And since then, we've been together, which you say is now 45 years. We just celebrated an anniversary last week. So, before we go any further, we'll have another piece of music, and the next one that you've chosen is actually You Raise Me Up. Now, tell me a bit about why you like Josh.
Well, I like the song. I think it's a nice song, and he's got a lovely voice, very pleasing to listen to.
Mm. He is a very, he's almost a tenor, isn't he, but not quite.
Well, I'm not too sure. But
no, he's sort of very emotive singer. Puts a lot of emotion into his singing, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does,
yeah. As we're going to hear now with Josh Groban and You Raise Me Up.
Can be. me up to more than I can be. You raise me.
That was Josh Groban, and You Raise Me Up. Right, so we just got up to where we got married, and we lived in Accrington because that's where I worked. We got married at your church in Darwin. Was it Sacred Heart?
Yeah.
And can you remember the name of the priest? Because it was an Italian name, I seem to remember. Father Paraglia, that was it. Father Paraglia, yes, I remember that now. And you were 20 minutes late at the altar, and my nerves were jangled, and my best man, who was George, who was my cousin's husband, George, who was also, later on, he was the godfather to her first child, he said, I think she's got cold feet, you know. And then when you did come, I remember that my left knee was shaking, and it kept shaking all the way through the ceremony. But I tried not to let it show. We got through it eventually. I think I had a couple of whiskies before then, just to give me a bit of courage. And we got married, and we had the reception. Went back home to Accrington. And as I said, at that time you were working at Darwin Wrists, and I was working at the Accrington factory. And I think we... actually, this is just before we got married. You got a job at Accrington, didn't
you?
Yeah,
because the Darwin factory shut down.
That's right. And then
travel.
When we got married, obviously, and moved in together, we were both working at the Accrington factory. I was on electrical test board design, and you were on the shop floor then, assemblies, weren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you were doing assemblies.
Yeah,
you didn't do reception there, did you? You did assembly. And, I mean, it's quite a good place to work, although everybody called it at the time. We found out after that we didn't know we were well off, because they had a wonderful sick pay scheme, they had a wonderful holiday pay scheme. It was just a really good place to work. And I think you only realise after, it's like anything else, you don't know what you've got till it's gone, do you?
Oh, that's true.
But you worked there. I worked there for 25 years, and then I had to retire because I had a little bit of trouble with my health. And you continued working there till, this was 1971 when we got married, wasn't it?
Yeah.
December the 11th, as I say, 2 weeks before Christmas. And you continued working at Wrists. Obviously, you had the children, and we'll go into that a little bit more in a minute. But between having the children, you worked all the time, didn't you?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't there, it was
part-time
at my dad's factory, which is a cotton mill. You worked when you were raising the kids. And I had to put them to bed, which was nice. I enjoyed doing that. I remember carrying one on each arm upstairs. I couldn't do that now. That was a bit too big for that. In 1972, we didn't have a honeymoon at the time. So what we did was we went to Blackpool in April. And you were actually pregnant by then. We just found out you were pregnant with what would have been our first child. You couldn't drink or anything. But we had a good time. We went to see Police, I remember that, in Blackpool. Yeah. Which is a good film at that time. It was 1972, obviously, because it was 71, we didn't get married till December. Mm. So it was 72, and we you know, say you're expecting, and unfortunately 2 weeks before your due date, you started feeling a bit ill, and you went into roughly maternity home, and I went home, and we didn't have mobile phones out in them days, and I stayed at my dad's on the couch. So the morning after, I walked down to the phone box to see how you were, and was absolutely devastated that the midwife told me you'd delivered a stillborn child. And that would have been our Stuart Andrew, we called him, hadn't we? That would have been our first baby.
Yeah.
And do you ever have thoughts about him now and what he might have been doing?
I often think about him, yeah.
And in those days, you didn't get to see them. I got to see him, but you didn't.
No,
I mean, now they do all sorts, don't they, to facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just wanted, they wouldn't even tell you where, you know, they buried the ashes or whatever they do with them. You know, they wouldn't tell you anything about them. It's all changed now. And do you think that it's better now the way it is?
Not too sure, because I think you tend to grieve a little bit too much, don't you, when you've seen them and have a little coffin for them.
Yeah, I think that's what they said, that you might make a pilgrimage up to the... Because they didn't really... It's a bit sad, but because they were stillborn, they didn't really relate to them being proper people then, but which they obviously were, you know. They'd never actually breathed, so... It was different than if a child had lived a couple of weeks, obviously. And, of course, that would be much worse anyway, I suppose, for anybody that's gone through that. But, anyway, we're obviously upset at the time, and I think your doctor got you out of that maternity home as soon as possible, because he didn't want you having to see all these newborn babies crying at the beginning and upset you.
Yeah.
And we actually came home, and our next-door neighbours had a bitch that was in season, so we got a puppy called it Scamp, I remember that, and it wasn't very successful. I think it's because we were naive as well, and we didn't know how to bring a pet up, and maybe it was a bit of both, but he had a bit of a fiery temper, and he eventually bit my dad, bit me, and we had to have him put down, which was very sad. But maybe it was in the breed, or maybe it's the way that we tried to raise him, I don't know, but it was a sad thing. But at the time, it was lovely because it just took your mind off the loss of the first baby. And then it wasn't long after that that we started, we managed to get pregnant together. Well, you did. We managed to... Pardon?
The following year.
You were pregnant again. And Amanda Louise was born in October 1973. 24th of October, if I'm right. That's, you know, we always remember these dates. They don't remember our birthdays sometimes, but, well, they give us, they don't remember the dates is what I'm saying, but you never know. Anyway, yeah, so I remember that, and it was nice, wasn't it, having a little girl that we could hold and take up to bed, and that, I think I just hugged her to be, we put her in the cot, and she was a really good baby as well, because she didn't wake us up many nights, did
she?
She
was very good.
She made up for it when she was a teenager, right? No, she was lovely. And then 2 years later, Catherine came along.
Yeah.
But that was a little bit traumatic, because you had a bit of a scare, didn't you, where you had a lump on your breast.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was a benign tumour, but it took about a week to find that out, and you were in hospital all that time.
Yeah.
And because of that, well, you hadn't breastfed Amanda anyway, had you? And you couldn't breastfeed. You couldn't breastfeed. But they've come out all right, you know, on formula, so that's good. I think we'll go to your next piece of music now, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the children growing up. And the next one you've picked is Hallelujah by Alexandra Burke. Now, that was featured on one of the X Factors when Alexandra Burke won it. It was written by Leonard Cohen. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I heard the song on The X Factor. I hadn't heard it before, but I thought it was a lovely, lovely song. And you always end up singing along with it.
It was, and it's quite a stirring ending, isn't it?
It really builds up to a crescendo.
Never
feel to end up singing along.
That was lovely. So we'll listen to that now, shall we?
Yeah.
Hallelujah by Alexandra Burke.
There was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, to ya. Well, it goes like this, the fourth and fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to her kitchen chair, she broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew.
Was a rather lilting Hallelujah by Alexander Burke. Now, we're going to move on a pace now, because, as I said, after Amanda was born in 1973, you had Catherine in 1975. So that's Catherine Ann. Now, Amanda was actually named after a song by Stuart Gillis called Amanda, and Catherine was named after my grandmother on my father's side. So that was sort of the history of why they were named. I mean, there's some strange names now, isn't there? And they're quite plain. I mean, we thought Amanda was an unusual name at that time, but it's quite a common name now, and mm-hmm. not too exotic when you think of some of the things like Peaches Melba, or whatever they call them these days.
Yeah.
And what is it? Fifi Honey Tricks, or, well, I don't know. Some amazing ones. There's just one the other day, and I can't remember what it's called now, but it's absolutely... Oh, it's Mick Jagger's latest. Oh, my goodness, what a funny name that has. A poor kid has to grow up with that name. I don't think they ever think of that, do they?
No.
Anyway, we used to go to a lot of holidays in Edinburgh, because that's where my family comes from. And you met Bill and Norma when we started courting, didn't you, at first? And we always got on well.
Yeah.
And we went on a few holidays with them. I think as the girls grew up, and the girls both went to St. Oswald's Primary School, and then they both went to Mount Carmel Secondary School. And then Catherine took a... I think Catherine left when she was 16, but she took a BTEC and went to college to learn how to do nursery nursing. And Amanda went to Watford College and did an HND in printing, packaging and publishing. and that was nice. I mean, that was a good sort of thing to have at the time. Now, Catherine was the first one to get married. When she met Rob, she got married in 2001. And the interesting thing is they went on their honeymoon to the Dominican Republic, and it was at the time of 9/11, so we were a little bit worried because they were over there. I think they were quite oblivious to what was going on at the time. But when they were coming back, I just thought they might have problems, but they were all right. They did very well. So that was like a load off. And then Amanda's quite an interesting story because she left Watford College and she actually worked in Watford for a while, where she brought Jacob. Jake was born in 1995, so he's just gone 21. And she brought Jacob at Watford until he was three, and then she brought him up here to Accrington, well, to Clayton the Moors, actually. So we got to sort of take a part in Jake's development. But we had a little bombshell because she met a guy called Andrew at the V99 concert in Leeds in 1999. And you could tell me a bit more about this anyway.
Yeah, they got along together at the concert. And then 2 weeks later, Andrew turned up at her house and they moved in together after a couple of weeks.
Mm.
And from there on, they've been together ever since.
Yeah, and he got on well with Jake right from the beginning, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And then they dropped the bombshell because Andrew actually was on a gap year from, I think it was Monash University in Melbourne, where his family lived. He was Irish. He came from Dublin originally, I think. But the whole family moved over there when he was about 7 or 8 years old. So all his education was over there. So I think the writing was on the wall that as soon as they'd settled, they were going to move back there. And lo and behold, they did. They moved to Australia in 2004 in January. So, and then had a little boy called Owen. So that was another grandson. And meanwhile, Catherine had Finlay. And now she's got Kira. I think Finlay was born in 2004. And Kira was born in 2006. So they're not too far apart, are they?
No,
and Finlay's just gone to secondary school. Kira's in her last year at primary this year, isn't she, as we speak?
Yeah.
And I'm proud of both of them. Kira's a brilliant dancer. What do you think? What do you think about your grandkids?
Oh, they all do very well. They look abilities. With Finlay in his football, and Jake with his karate, and Owen plays football.
It's kung fu, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's kung fu that Jake does. And Andrew does it as well. Andrew's a black belt, isn't he?
Yeah.
And Jake was over here in 2015 at the age of 20. It was his first trip abroad, and he went to see Germany, he went to see Rome, and he stayed with us for a couple of weeks, didn't he? And, you know, he's sort of based at our house, and I went all over with him, but you were working at that time, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame,
you couldn't go with him. We did go a few places, like Tower, we went on the tour.
Get a week off.
We'd never have gone on that tour, would we? Horton Tower.
No.
It's one of these things that you live on the doorstep, you don't do, but he wanted to do that, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he went back in 2015, but he really enjoyed it. And he went to Liverpool with me, and we bought some John Lennon specs. Remember that?
And he
actually put that selfie that we took on his profile, and he's had it on ever since, which is like 18 months now, so I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
Really pleased about that. So he loves his granddad, even if it's from 12,000 miles away.
Yeah, of course he does.
But Amanda, of course, you weren't so well and you were in hospital, and Amanda came to see you this year, didn't she, early on?
She
came for a couple of weeks and brought Owen with her, which is our youngest grandson. And he's the only Oswald Twistle one. He's the only Australian one. All the rest were born here, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Amanda, because Catherine and Rob don't live in Australia. That's actually natural, isn't it? But they're all very good at doing certain things in their own way, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm. So what do you think? What do you think about? Are you proud of your grandkids? And are you proud? Are you pleased of how your life's gone so far? And
yeah, they've all turned out all right.
Mm.
Well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
What they're told, I suppose.
Sorry?
Knew what they told, I suppose.
Well, yeah, to an extent. Jack's always been the sort that, you know, never ups the boat. I don't think he even drinks very much, does he?
No.
He's a model citizen. Yeah. And a lovely grandson as well. I mean, yeah.
Lovely kids.
But they all are. They're all lovely in their own way.
Yeah.
And, of course, Owen's brilliant, isn't he? This time he came over and it was fun. I really bonded with him this time because last time he was only 4 and he kept biting me. But so you know, it's been good, hasn't it? And then of course I was going to say you retired in January this year, didn't you?
Yeah,
from
I did, yeah.
Working 16 years as a carer, and
also cold a day.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah. And he did a good job as well.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now. And we'll sum up by you just recounting things that you want to talk about and a message to everybody.
Yeah, I've had a good life and I've got a lovely husband and a lovely family. I've enjoyed the work I've been doing and hope to carry on enjoying the rest of the time.
Yeah, and that's it. You've always worked, haven't you?
Yeah, I've always worked.
Mm. So, thank you very much, Rita.
You're welcome.
And we'll leave with actually what is, funnily enough, I was coming over here today and it was on the radio, which is a coincidence. And it's one that we actually went to see. There's a couple of people I think over the years we saw Petula Clark, David Soul, who was in Starsky and Hutch, and this chap, who I think was your favourite singer.
Yeah,
of all,
he's a good singer.
And that was David Essex.
Yeah.
And he had a right cheeky grin, didn't he? And,
he did, yeah.
Yeah. And do you want to introduce the song?
It's called A Winter's Tale by David Essex.
Thank you, Rita. I really enjoyed that.
You're welcome.
And I love you very much.
Love you too.
Thank you. Bye, everybody, and thank you very much for listening.
Bye.
Another winter's day, and why should Just another winter's day.